Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
I want to talk to you this morning about one of the values that we have here at Life Point, and I just want to introduce it this way. I want to encourage you to do some dabbing. How many of you know what dabbing is? You've done the dab. No, you don't know. Dabbing comes, it's this hip-hop culture thing, but yet you see it. This was before the Super Bowl that Cam Newton dabbed, because after the Super Bowl, he wasn't dabbing anymore. But anyway, so this dab is like this hip-hop culture dance thing that goes along. So, you know, athletes all in every spectrum do the dab. But also, I came across this photo that says grandmas do the dab. And so, you know, and then we have this one. The coach from the Chiefs does the dab. So anyway, why don't you just try to do the dab real quick. Ready? All right, on three, kind of loosen up, free both hands. And get them loose a little bit. All right, so this is a dab, right? You go this hand, whatever hand, one hand goes up, and you kiss that big bicep of yours, right? Kiss it, and then bring it back. All right, that's the dab, all right? So this Tuesday night, we have a softball game, and so every one of our guys that are on the softball team, when you get on first base, you got to do the dab, because that's an accomplishment if you get on first base. So anyway, just some fun. But I want to talk. I want to use that dab phrase and use it in this, in talking with about our topic today of daily application in the Bible. All right? The kind of dabbing I want to talk to you about is really one of our six core values of our church. Daily application of the Bible. So over the next 6 weeks, our series is called The Six, Who We Are. We're going to talk about one core value per week. I'm not going to give you all six of them today, but we'll talk about one of them today. Not only are we going to talk about it in here, but I'm really excited that because down the hallway in Kids Church, Pastor Nathaniel is talking to the kids about this core value today. Wednesday night, our students will be talking about this core value in their service from a little bit different perspective. But man, we're just trying to hit this at every angle. So what is a core value? Author Aubrey Malforce defines core values as those things that are important to the organization's bottom line. They are defining, Malforce goes on to say that a core value is constant, it's passionate, it just makes you want to do something about it, that it stokes something within you, and that they are, in our case, that they are biblical. And so these values need to drive what we do, but how many know they don't drive how you do it? They drive what you do, but maybe not the how, because the how's changed through time and seasons and situations. It doesn't fit within, if it doesn't fit within a value, then perhaps we shouldn't do it. And so our first value that we're going to look at, and these aren't in any necessary order of importance as we go through them the next 6 weeks, because all of them are important. But the first value that we're going to talk on this morning is this. We believe in the practical application of the Bible in our daily lives. So that over the next several minutes, what I want to do is I want to cover three areas. I want to, today's all about acrostics, I guess, if you will, but I want to give you an acrostic. And the acrostic is this. I just want to give you a tip this morning. And the first, let's start with this, the trustworthiness of the Word of God in our daily life, all right? And then we're going to talk about the importance of the Word in our daily life and then the practical application of it. But let's talk about the trustworthiness of the Word in our daily life. When you look at our church's webpage, Under what we believe, you'll find this statement. It comes from, it's the 16 fundamentals of the Assemblies of God. And our first fundamental truth is this, that the scriptures are inspired. That scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, are verbally inspired by God and are the revelation of God to man, infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. And so they're trustworthy. So why should you do the daily dab? Why should you do daily application of the Bible? Why should this book be more important to you every morning than the Wichita Eagle, more important to you than USA Today, more important to you than your Facebook page or Twitter or whatever social media you may find yourself using? Why should it be more important? What separates it from all others? And I think it's a fair question. Can you trust it? What I want to do this morning, and this could be a really long message. I may have things to do today. All right, a few of you. All right, so here it is, all right? Let me just give you some background on the Bible, okay? It's a book that was written over a 1,500-year span, okay? It was written by more than 40 authors from different walks of life. So you have kings, you have military leaders, you have peasants and tax collectors and fishermen and poets and musicians and statesmen and scholars and doctors and shepherds and philosophers who pen what we call the Bible. It's written in different places. Some of it is written in wildernesses, others in dungeons or hillsides or palaces or in prison cells. Some of it was written while they were traveling. It's written during different moods. Sometimes there's joy, there's despair, there's confusion, there's times of uncertainty, there's times of doubt and confusion. It's written in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. It's written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It's written in different styles. There's poetic. There's the historic narrative of the scriptures. There's songs. There's romance. Little Song of Solomon action going on. There's memoirs. There's satire and law. There's personal correspondence within the pages of scripture. There's prophecy. There's allegory. And then it addresses hundreds of topics, right? And yet you think, yet all the years, yet all the miles, yet all the cultures that separated where these letters were written from. There's this incredible harmony in regard to the pages of Scripture. And the cool thing is the unfolding storyline within all of Scripture from the beginning of generations to the end of Revelations. Whatever I just said was a combination of Genesis and Revelation, if you just didn't catch that, all right? So I caught it, but I can't say it again. But anyway, so the unfolding story within the pages of Scripture is this: God's redemption of humanity. You see it from Genesis to Revelations. Man, God thinks he's crazy for humanity. And then the main character, or the main person, if you will, of Scripture is not you, it's not man, it's not woman, it's God. It's him. And it's his encounter with humanity. And so I like what apologist Josh McDowell says. Contrast the book of the Bible with the compilation of Western classics called the Great Books of the Western World. The Great Books contain selections of more than 450 works by close to 100 authors spanning a period of 25 centuries. And so you have Plato and Aristotle and Augustine and Aquinas and Dante and Hobbes and Calvin and Shakespeare and Hume and Kant and Darwin and Whitehead and Joyce, to just name a handful of those individuals that are a part of that. And while these individuals are all part of the Western tradition of ideas, they often display an incredible diversity of views on just about every topic or every subject. And while their views share some commonalities, they also display numerous conflicting and contradictory positions and perspectives. In fact, they frequently go out of their way to critique and refute key ideas proposed by their other predecessors. But the uniqueness of the Bible that we just mentioned earlier, dates and places and background of the authors and whatnot, does not prove, understand this, that doesn't prove that it's inspired. It does, however, challenge any person sincerely seeking truth to consider seriously its qualities and continuity of the scripture. So often people will say, listen, can you really trust the book to be God's word? Maybe you've asked that question yourself. Or do you don't really believe the Bible, do you? I was thinking about this week as I was preparing this message, and one of our neighbors in Topeka, Robin, was visiting with her one day, and she made the comment to Robin, the Bible's just so outdated, I don't see how it applies to our current context. Or the case has been attempted to be made that Jesus was just a man. And so you hear all these things, and we're not able to unpack all of them today, but there's this trustworthiness of Scripture, this continuity of Scripture that says to you and says to I, listen, you need to inspect it. You need to test it. You need to try it. You need to apply it to your life and trust it. Because of that trustworthiness, it deserves and it calls for us to, I believe, this is my personal conviction, it calls to the follower of Jesus to at least every day have at least 15 minutes of chair time in the scripture. The ancient Jewish culture, formal education began at 6 years of age for the young Jewish boys. And they would be enrolled in the local synagogue school called Bet Sefer. It meant the house of the book. And what would happen by the time these students would graduate in 4 years, so now they're 10, they would have the Torah memorized. The Torah is the first 5 books of the Old Testament. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And how many, let's just be honest, there is some stuff that's not too exciting in some of those books, right? And that they would have this memorized. Tradition says that the rabbi would cover their slate with honey on the first day of class. A little visual for the students. He would cover this slate with honey. And then the rabbi would instruct the class to lick off the honey from their slate while reciting Psalms 119, verse 103, which says this, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." See, the goal for you and I is to fall in love with the Word of God, to develop an appetite for it. Trusting Scripture puts the promises of God between you and your circumstances. And that's huge. Trusting the Scripture, finding them trustworthy and placing them between you and your circumstances doesn't necessarily make your that situation go away, but yet you know what it does? It gives you a totally different perspective to that situation, doesn't it? In those circumstances. Do the daily dab. Next, I want to talk, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time, because I told you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, but I want to talk to you about the importance of the Word of God in your daily life. Look at it with me, this passage of Scripture. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Notice that it says what? What's the very first word? All. In other words, you can't pick and choose. Right? All means all. That's what all means. And the passage that those passages that inspire you, I hope last week for those of you that were here, Dayton Poe was with us and spoke and shared a message called The Top 5. If you weren't here, I would encourage you to listen to it online. It was an incredible message, but he talked about what's your top 5 scriptures? And as I sat there thinking about that in my own life and began to just recall and to reflect on my top five scriptures, I began to notice there's this common theme being woven between all those scriptures that are my top five. And with that common theme is a common why with those passages. And so there's all those scriptures that inspire us. Yes, they are inspired by God. Those scriptures that move us, they're inspired. But so are the ones that challenge you. So are the ones that convict you. So are the ones that confuse you and the ones that you don't understand and the ones you look at and you go, man, that just seems like a contradiction. But in the broad context of scripture, it's not a contradiction. All scripture is inspired. What is the purpose, as you look at this passage of scripture, what is the purpose of all scripture being inspired by God? You know what it is? That you would be complete and that you would be well equipped. That's God's heart for you, that you would be complete, that you would be well equipped. I like how the English Standard Version puts it: all scripture is breathed out by God. We learn two things about the word. For there to be life, there must be breath, right? God is providing life to us through his word. And his word can cultivate this appetite with us. And secondly, we learn this through scripture, is that the word is Jesus. Scripture provides for us a collage for Christ. Now, my sister from Australia is with us here this morning. So if you hear somebody that sounds a little bit weird in their dialect, it's probably my sister. She combines Colorado and Australian accents together. That's wonderful. But she's here. And my other sister was with us for a few days as well. And she lives in Colorado. But Kim is like... put pause real quick so she doesn't hear me say this. Kim is a collage freak. I mean, she like just loves making collages. And so she's in the process of making some collages for my parents for their room over at the manor and just pictures that will bring back memories for my parents. But you know what scripture provides for us? Scripture provides for us a collage of who Jesus is. We read this in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us that we may have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when you open up the Word of God, in your life, in your home, in a corporate setting, during a break at work, or within a small group setting, or during a presentation at work, or at school, or in class, or wherever the situation may be, do you understand what we're doing when we do that? We are inviting the presence of Jesus into that place and into that conversation. Listen, if it's true that the Word became flesh and in Christ there is life, then this is what happens. If we remove the Word from our life, you remove the presence of Jesus as well. Life Point Church, I promise you this, as long as I'm the pastor here, will be a place where there is practical application of the Word being preached. That we hold to this thing. And we preach it through and through, the good stuff, the hard stuff, the easy stuff, the stuff that's easy to understand, the stuff that's challenging to understand. Romans 8:5 tells us this: those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit, or set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Dr. Wilder Penfield, he's a neurologist, that has performed over 1,100 brain surgeries. Many of those patients were individuals who suffered from epileptic seizures, and he wanted to know why. And so under local anesthetic, the tops of these patients' skulls were removed. How many would want to sign up for that? But the patients would remain conscious, right? So that they could converse with the doctor. And, I mean, it gives a new meaning to pay, right? But anyway, during one of the open brain operations, Dr. Penfield was fascinated to discover when he used a very mild electrical current to stimulate different parts of the cortex, some of the patients experienced flashbacks. One patient recalled attending a symphony and remembering every note from that symphony she heard that she had attended years ago. One patient recalled sitting at a train stop, watching a train pass by, and being able to give detailed description of every train car. You know what? I mean, Dr. Penfield concluded that every sight, every sound, every experience, every conscious thought or subconscious dream is recorded on your cerebral cortex. In other words, you know what your mind is? It's like this deluxe Etch-a-Sketch, right? With each dab, with each 15-minute chair time, the word gets inscribed deeper and deeper into you until it's literally engraved on the surface of your cortex. The Bible exhorts us in this way, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The New King James puts it this way. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Simply put, the mind of Christ is the Word of God. And that means when you pray or you meditate or you memorize the Word of God, you know what you're doing? You're engraving Jesus on your brain. Neurologically speaking, you are recruiting or new connectors and rerouting old ones. Slowly but surely, your brain is being rewired, if you will. It's being renewed, if you will. It's kind of like syncing. You are downloading the very words, the very thoughts of God, and over time, those downloads are upgrades so that the mind of Christ is formed in you. Isn't that awesome? The importance, that's the importance of doing the dab. So let's just break down 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 real quick. Paul says this, all scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Or some translations use doctrine. Okay? Doctrine is this divine instruction. It's content. It's to build a strong foundation in your life. And Jesus refers to the importance of this. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus is talking. And he says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When we allow our life to be built on the foundations of the Word, when life happens, because life does happen, how many experienced a little bit of life this week, right? When the winds blow, it says you won't be shaken. You know, my guess is, not knowing everyone very well in this place, some of you I don't know very well at all, some of you I know really well, but I would dare say none of us go, you know what, man, I've really enjoyed some of these earthquake things that we've had around here in Wichita. I never expected living in Kansas that we would experience some tremors, you know, but I like laying in bed and just having it shake a little, you know? Wondering when the big one's gonna hit, because I just, you know, I hope I'm driving down the road and the big one hits and like the ground opens up right next to me. Because I like shake. Anyone just looking forward to that and hope by God's grace that never happens? No way. But yet, no, you know, that happens. Life is gonna happen. So what's your foundation? No one signs up for that stuff, but how are you gonna handle it? It reminds me a few years ago at Christmas, cold front was getting ready to come in. Christmas was over. It was time to take down the lights. So before the storm hit, I thought, I'm going to get up on the roof and I'm going to pull the lights off and get back down. And so I got the lights and I was coming down the ladder. And before I got on the ladder, the thought went through my mind, I should probably holler for some help to have someone hold the ladder. No, I'm good. I started down the ladder. You laugh already. because you know what happened. Man, I'm going down that ladder and it kicks out on me. And my first instinct is to reach for the guttering. My next thought that went through my mind is I'm 225 pounds. That guttering is not going to hold me. So I let go. And in doing so, it swung my legs up. And man, I landed right on my bum. And I wasn't whistling Dixie when that happened. But you know, the foundation wasn't secure. I had put the ladder on some ice and it kicked out on me. And you know, that's a silly picture of what happens when we aren't on a good foundation. So here's a key point. Life trumps, and that's not a political plug for anyone, law, right? Life trumps law. And when you, in other words, understand this, when you're dabbing, a foundation is being built, and you want that foundation to be built on revelation, not just information. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do people say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But what about you, he asked them. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's a key thought is this. Revelation is about knowing Jesus. Information is knowing more about Jesus. Revelation changes you. Revelation draws you to him. How do you... Just asking a simple question, where are you today in your relationship with Jesus? I mean, are you seeing movement towards him, or are you seeing stagnation? Or are you seeing, man, I'm kind of backpedaling? What's going on? Because there has to be this movement towards him. That should be the cry of our heart. And if it's not happening, then we need to visit the doctor. What's your daily application of the Bible like? People will say, well, you know, I don't like this church because I don't feel like I'm getting fed there, or you know, man, I'm just struggling my walk with God. I'm not doing anything about it though. I'm just struggling. I don't feel God. He's not talking to me. But you know what that's like when we're not doing daily application stuff? It's like this. If I could just put it this way, it's like going to the YMCA one day a week, working out, getting real sore, and then not doing anything else the rest of the week, and then going back the next Sunday or the next Monday, working out real hard. You go back and you're really sore, you're not making any progress, you're doing everything else you were doing the other 6 days of the week, not changing anything, and you're expecting to get stronger and to work through the sore. It doesn't work that way. I mean, this daily application thing is so important to our spiritual development. That if you rely just on a Sunday message week in, week out, it's like going to the Y one day a week and expecting to become the next Mr. Universe. It's not going to work. Next, he says this, reproof. Look at it. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching and for reproof. God's word establishes a strong foundation, but also a healthy conviction in our life. God's word establishes this healthy conviction for you and I. We live in a culture that is trying to erode conviction with the argument of relativity, which is a total contradiction in terms. But anyhow, and that's a totally different message, but in James chapter 1, we read this, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But a man who looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The Bible says that the word of God is like this mirror. You look at it, and it shows you for who you are. The mirror reminds you, you got up this morning, and one of the places you hopefully went was to the mirror. I'm not sure Chris did, but you know, you go to the mirror and you're reminded, man, I need to shave. man, I need to pluck that eyebrow that got on steroids overnight and grew like 5 inches. You know, I need to floss my teeth. So it is with the word. It shows us what needs to be addressed in our life. How foolish it would be if tomorrow morning you got up and you looked in the mirror and got made and you got mad at the mirror because it revealed what you really looked like when you got up, that your hair was a mess and you had, you know, eye gunk and you had dry drool on the side of your cheek and you know, and you get mad at the mirror. Wouldn't that be crazy? You're like, stupid mirror, that's not what I look like. No, that's what you look like, you know? Yet people get upset with the Bible when it shows them. We get a, you know, there's been times where I've read the Bible and I was like, oh, I don't like that. But it showed me what was going on in here. It showed me what was going on in my life. And the Bible is speaking to us and saying, listen, I've created you for more. I have created you for freedom, God tells us. God convicts us because he loves us and he sees a better future for us. So he doesn't want us to stay the same. We can't pick and choose the scriptures. We have to embrace the scriptures. And when we do, we allow the Spirit to convict us and position ourselves to become more like Christ. And James chapter 1 tells us that if we do that, we will be blessed. Next, in recognizing the importance of God's word, we learn this. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, and then for correction. It turns us from destruction. God's desire is to protect us from bad decisions. Now, quick question, honest question for all of us here this morning. Have you ever made a bad decision that you regretted? Doing your hair like that today? All right. All right. So, you know, you knew you shouldn't have done it. You knew you shouldn't have said it. You knew that whatever the scenario is, but you did, and now you have regrets. Now you have ghosts in your closet. Now you have dirty laundry. Now you have scars, whatever the scenario may be, right? But God corrects us to protect us. Those guardrails on the road are there not to protect you from the road, right? They're to protect you from what's beyond the road. So it is with the word of God. God sets up a wall of protection via correction. No one grows out of the need to be corrected, right? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm sorry. It's talking about you. None of us grow past that. No one enjoys being corrected, at least not initially. But we understand we need it. Understand the heart of God, the Father heart of God. God corrects us to protect us. Psalms 84 verse 11 says this, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. God corrects us to bless us, to protect us. Why walk uprightly? Why submit to scripture? So that you'll be blessed. When we open the word, we allow ourselves to be corrected. We allow ourselves to be directed. And finally, in this area of importance to the word of God, in our daily lives, we learn this instruction. It's training in righteousness. It's about living a fully devoted life to Christ. The word creates a heart that wants to be devoted to Jesus. The things of this world, the money, the material possessions, the popularity, the applause of people, it's not it. Man, may it be our prayer. God, I want to be devoted to you. I want to be submitted to you. I applaud. I was thinking this week, Morgan Burns, the K-State player that, I don't know if he got drafted or he was a free agent to the Tennessee Titans, but walked away, had the opportunity. I mean, I'm still wishing and hoping that the NFL calls me. Right? Here, I mean, this dream, and he says, you know what? It's not what God called me to do, man. I'm going into full-time ministry. Just that hunger and that desire to be obedient, to be trained in righteousness. Psalms 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God calls us to holiness. and a life that reflects his character, his heart, his attributes. Let me ask you a question. What would happen across the globe if the followers of Jesus would really live that out? How would that impact those that don't follow God? How would it impact those that look upon the life of those who name the name of Jesus and they can't find fault with them because they live with such integrity and such love and such passion and urgency that the word of God not only transforms them but flows through them and affects others around them? One final thought is the practical application for daily study. Let's make sure, as we've said from the very beginning, that we're dabbing daily. All right? Challenging you, 15 minutes a day of chair time. Now, how many know if you miss a day, God, doesn't turn away from you, right? But 15 minutes of chair time a day to where you're just opening up Scripture and you're saying, God, speak to me. God, shape me. God, form me into the man, into the woman, to the student that you want me to be. You've heard me talk about it before on every seat in the sanctuary this morning in our worship center is just this piece of paper. I want you to take it with you this morning. Maybe you already have you're like, hey, Steve, I'm good on that. I'm in the Word every day. That's awesome. Continue with it. But maybe you find yourself to be one that just struggles with that discipline and you get overwhelmed by the thought of it. I want to encourage you to implement this SOAP pattern of devotions into your life. That what it is, and I won't take time to read through specifically, but SOAP's just another acrostic. I mean, we're 3 for 3 today, right? On acrostics. SOAP is just this. It's the Scripture. It's an observation of that Scripture that you just read. It's application. How does this apply to my life today? How does this apply to what where I'm at? What's Jesus speaking to me? And then a prayer. You write a prayer from how that passage of Scripture is speaking to your heart. In my journal, that's what I do. I try to do a SOAP every day. Read chunks of Scripture. Normally I read 4 to 5 chapters a day. It's pretty much my routine, but as I'm reading, I'm looking through there. I'm saying, God, speak to me. And as I read through those portions of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, usually something will stand out to me. And that's what I SOAP. So I'll write that Scripture down, and then I'll make an observation. I'll put that Scripture in my own words, and I'll just write a sentence or two and maybe write some background into what's going on in that Scripture so the context is right. And then I write the application of what's this saying to me right now? How do I need to respond to this? And then I write a prayer from that passage of Scripture. And 15 minutes. Here's why this is so important, you guys, for all of us. All of us in this place are thermostats. That when you come into this place, you're setting a temperature. You're setting a climate in this place. You're contributing to the spiritual atmosphere of this place, whether you know it or not. And what would happen if all of us throughout the week, we're not doing just the one day going to the gym one day a week thing, but man, daily we're doing dabbing, you know? So when we come in here, we're a little bit more attuned to the Spirit's presence and what he's saying corporately, but also to me individually. And all of a sudden, the barometer, the presence of the Lord gets raised a little bit higher because all of us are walking a little bit daily, a little closer daily with him. Versus if none of us do anything with our spiritual life and we come in here, including me, And I just say, well, you know, today I think I'm just in a... Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1, again, I look and I saw the oppression that was taking place under the sun. That's the word for today. Bless you. Peace be with you. May the word of God speak to you and you leave. But if we're all collectively dabbing, applying scripture, man, I promise you, it will change the spiritual climate in this place. And it will be good. And the soil will become more and more and more fertile. I mean, I was praying out in the foyer Friday, just praying at the wall, thanking God for those that have come to faith because another light bulb was put in this past week. But God, we need your presence more. And being in his word helps bring the presence of Jesus. And so what I want to do real quick, we're almost noon. In Colorado, we're not even at 11 yet. So if you would just open up your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. And I just want us to corporately look at Philippians chapter 3. And just right where you're sitting, this is going to be our final prayer time, if you will. It's going to be up on the screen as well if you don't have a Bible. And I just want you to read that portion of scripture and soak with it, interact with it. Maybe you've never done this before. You're like, man, this is like new territory for me. Man, new territory is fun. But interact with that passage of scripture. What's your observation of it? You can write it down on the back of your bulletin or maybe in your Bible or on the back of that sheet that is on your chair. Thank you, Lord. And after you do some observation, what's the application? How's that speaking to you? How do you interact with it? And just write a sentence or two. It doesn't have to be a book. It doesn't have to be a big old paragraph. If that's what it is, then that's great. But what's it saying to you? And after you complete the application, then just write a little prayer. Lord, thank you that the best is yet to come. Lord, thank you that you don't want me to live in the past, but you're calling me to press on to a deeper walk with you or whatever is in your heart.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.